I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
April Fools, Matthew.
Ha ha.
Is it?
It will be. And for my prank, I will disappear and reappear 3 days later. Thrice days.
Oh, Jesus. That reminded me of...
Everything lines right up.
It does.
What reminded you?
The way you were speaking reminded me of the one of the Adam Driver skits on SNL.
Nope. I've only seen a couple of them.
It's the one where he plays like an old man who's like going to his son's like school to like talk about what your parents do for a living.
Oh, okay.
And he's like an oil baron or something. Something Parnassus is his last name. Something Parnassus. It's fucking, that's so funny. Anyways.
Was it the thrice?
Yeah, it was the rolling of the tongue. Roll, yeah.
Verily, strike thee down.
Yeah.
Basically. Your foes.
Gamers 2 Podcast, your weekly roundup of news and commentary and anything else that might pique our interests.
Like roll d'ars.
Oh.
Rah. Can you roll your R's?
No.
Okay. I couldn't remember. I knew. I for some reason, I thought it was no, but.
Fat, dumb tongue. Can't do.
Can you even do the like the curl?
Kind of. A little bit. Yeah. Fat, dumb tongue's fat.
I can't do. You ever seen people do the three?
Yeah.
The clover? I can't find it. I don't understand how they ever do that.
I don't know. People just.
People got weird mouths, man.
Yeah, they're doing too much weird shit with their tongues. You freaks.
I've never been able to do the cherry stem knot.
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't.
How? How once I sit down, I've had no Discord messages for 6 hours.
Yeah, people sense it. And they're like, we got to blow this motherfucker up.
I know who it is. It's Buck. 110%.
I got to send this motherfucker third memes. One. He's trying to do shit. Memes.
If they're anime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because last time he did it, he sent the exact anime we were talking about.
I don't know. We haven't talked about
any. Okay.
We haven't talked about any anime yet, so.
That's true. We were talking about Banger Musics today, and he brought me a Weeb song from, I have to go look it up now. Anyway, irrelevant.
Hey, podcast. It was History Maker from Yuri on Ice.
No, it was from, I'll look it up in the course of this.
That's fine. I was just throwing.
It's not from that one. It was from one I did not know.
Oh.
And then I brought up my go-to would be Initial D, and he went, well, yeah, that tracks. And yeah. I was like, what does that mean? What do you mean that tracks?
Get the Eurobeat, and then if you get the, if you do the remake movies, you get J-Rock instead of Eurobeat. People are hot in the J-Rock right now. So.
Is J-Rock like K-pop?
But Japanese rock.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's the Drock. Drock.
Drock.
Anyway, should we? I'll take number one.
Okay.
Because Thunderful has entered an agreement to sell Head Up for 500,000 euros.
Yeah, no new games this week.
No, there are new. There's, listen, we've blown our load for March.
Okay.
We're waiting for April now. Dragon's Dogma 2 was the last thing that came out.
You're going to be with that one for a while.
And then you're going to be with that one for a while, and you got to spend a lot more money than you thought.
Yeah. So we're giving you a break.
I'm not going to tell you to spend your money on anything other than if you want to send me food.
Oh, God.
I apparently got Matt with that one, or he can't drink water correctly.
Little column A, little column B.
So Thunderful has entered an agreement to sell Head Up for 500,000 euros. The German-based developer and publisher is being bought by Microcuts Holding, which is controlled by Head Up founder and CEO Dieter Scheuler. Is that two L's?
It yes. is.
Okay, Scheuler. Who is also Thunderful's vice president of production. Thunderful initially acquired Head Up for 11 million euros in 2021. So if anybody's doing the math, that is minus 10,500,000 euros. The sale will include HeadUp's back catalog of around 80 titles and a pipeline of 5 games in development. Thunderful will receive a revenue share of up to 300,000 euros on a future unannounced title as part of the agreement. While the deal has been finalized between both parties, it depends on factors such as the shareholder approval, rewriting 3 IP-related contracts, and the transfer of Studio Fizbin. Almost said Fizbitch. That is an old Power Thirst reference. Like Flavor's Gun in Banana. Fizbitch. Anyway, Studio Fizbin to Thunderful. German developer Studio Fizbin was acquired by Thunderful in 2023 through HeadUp for an undisclosed sum. The sale of HeadUp was made as part of Thunderful's restructuring program announced in January, which will include a 20% reduction in staff. Thunderful sounds like it's headed for the fucking toilet.
Yeah.
You bought HeadUp for $11 million and then sell for $500,000?
I mean, this sounds kind of sketch.
That's terrible business process.
This sounds sketch.
And the CEO and everything is involved, and you're
Yeah, the CEO is the one who's buying it back.
Yeah, like, of all the things, European Union, that you do and that you like to sue people for, this doesn't seem sketchy to you at all? At all.
That dude probably got a huge payout when Thunderful bought them. And then he's like, oh, I'm going to run this company in the ground and then buy it back for a chump change.
True. Money laundering at the best.
Yeah. Up to no good.
Shiro Sugisu, number one, was the weeb song.
What's the anime?
Hold on. I'm going to try not to play it. Shiro Sugisu? That dude?
Oh, okay. It's Bleach, okay.
Oh, yeah, Bleach, yeah, sorry. Shiro must be the artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, TV animation, Bleach original soundtrack, the song number one.
And on to number two. Don't Nod has announced a new studio organization structured around its 3 genres of preference. RPG, narrative adventure, and action adventure.
I just like the idea of a studio having a genres of preference.
Yeah. Them just being like, these are the 3 genres we care about. Everyone else, fuck off.
Oh, do you want a turn-based game? Fuck you.
Oh, you want to do a turn-based game? You're fired.
FPS, get out.
The company will now be organized in 3 branches named after these genres, with the aim being to emphasize its expertise in these titles and reflect its role as both a developer and publisher. Don't Nod clarify that this restructure does not mean redundancies. About the restructure, Don't Nod CEO Oscar Gilbert said it reflected the company's desire to deepen its expertise in these 3 genres with a focus on strategic business growth, aiming at solidifying its position as a market leader. It's a whole lot of...
I like the idea.
Mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, it's mumbo jumbo, but it can make sense. Well,
the quotes were...
No, yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, it can wonder if it also really can help the hiring process. You're like, listen, you're a game dev and you want to get your feet in. Hey, listen, these are the 3 things we do.
Yeah.
If you're looking to make a sports game, it's just not going to happen here. So I don't want to hire you and set these weird expectations and be like, well, we might work on a sports game at some point. Like, no, we're just doing this. This is what we know. This is what we can do.
I guess it depends on how strict they are to these branches, because like you kind of, you don't want to necessarily like confine your devs to no, one branch.
But you also named three things that are very wide baskets.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, we only do trading card sports games in the southern hemisphere of northern India.
Yeah.
You're like, how is there a southern hemisphere of northern India? Good question. You have to divide that half in half. And that's how you get there.
Also, those three genres have a lot of crossover. And
right.
And are merging together, so to speak.
We've divided ourselves into three pieces of the entirely same circle. It's just a Venn diagram, but there's absolutely 100% overlap.
Yeah.
Number three, Sega has sold Relic Entertainment and will cut 240 roles across Sega Europe, Creative Assembly, and Sega Hard Light. Relic is best known for the Company of Heroes and Dawn of War games, and recently developed the new Age of Empires for Microsoft. Relic will transition to an independent studio and will no longer be part of the Sega group of studios. The majority of the 240 job cuts are across Creative Assembly and Sega Europe, while there will be a small number cut from Sega Hard Light. Did I just read that sentence before?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, that was... Okay, no. Just, it was just the exact cadence of deja vu of the exact number, the three studios, and then the only difference was the large, small sum.
Yeah.
There was no mention of other Sega UK studios, including Two Point Studios and Sports Interactive. Creative Assembly had already suffered a range of redundancies following the cancellation of its Hyenas project last year. I always do forget that Sports Interactive is under Sega until I boot up Football Manager and then I see the Sega logo. Because I also feel like they would probably be immediately picked up and fine if they ever had to leave Sega.
Yeah. I find it strange, like this week, we're going to do another story in a second here, but there's a lot of like studios being passed around, and like not small studio, like not insignificant studios.
No, but it's the mix of, we sprinted through layoffs for the first 2 to 3 months of the year. Now it's like, okay, now let's shuffle what we think can still survive.
Yeah.
That we're not greedily going to let people off. We'll see it. We'll be like, oh, okay, you don't want to let people go, then this will have to happen. And the entire group of you can go see if you can survive.
Yeah. Number four, take two.
It's not layoffs if we just let the studio be independent and they starve themselves and suffer.
Yeah.
If they crash and burn on their own, we didn't lay them off.
We gave them a second chance that they failed at.
Staring, EA staring at Respawn for releasing Titanfall 2 when it did. What if we just set them out to die?
Perfect. Then we can buy the remnants.
Vince Zampella is our new god. Yeah, it's a real weird stance to take after you did what you did.
No, trust me. Don't worry about it. It worked. Number four.
I'd live there.
I would too. Take-Two will acquire developer Gearbox from Embracer for $460 million. The deal for the studio, which operates out of three offices in the U.S. and Canada, is expected to be completed in June. Gearbox is responsible for the Borderlands series, which is published by Take-Two, and the two are already working together on the next Borderlands game. Alongside Borderlands, Take-Two will also take ownership of Homeworld, Risk of Rain, Brothers in Arms, Duke Nukem, alongside future Gearbox titles. Take-Two says that Gearbox are working on six titles, including two Borderlands games, two Homeworld titles, plus at least one new IP. Gearbox will operate within Take-Two's 2K label and will continue to be led by founder and CEO Randy Pitchford. Embracer Group picked up Gearbox in a deal potentially worth $1.3 billion in 2021. The sale is part of Embracer's ongoing restructuring program. And then a little addendum, following the sales of Saber Interactive and Gearbox Software, the Embracer Group held an investors call to confirm the end of its restructuring program.
For now.
for now. They also said that they don't plan on buying anything anytime soon either.
Which is probably a good idea at this point, seeing how everything you've bought, you've now turned around and just sold for pennies on the dollar, which is really confusing. I guess good that it landed in Take-Two's hands. They know what they have. They've worked with them for years now and everything else.
Seems like a natural move.
What's the interesting thing is that there's two Borderlands games in production.
I mean, maybe they consider the... What was that little girl's name?
Tiny Tina?
Yeah, maybe they consider that a Borderlands game. Like, if they do another Tiny Tina?
I mean, maybe they're doing another offshoot. Do they count the one that they did with... Telltale years ago of Tales from the Borderlands, so they do another one of those.
Yeah.
There is work to, or rumor to be an actual Borderlands 4 on the way.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever they're doing on this other one would be interesting. I forget they own Homeworld. Risk of Rain going over is pretty big. Duke Nukem is just a fun title.
Yeah. Kind of needs a revival, I think.
Yeah, it would need a full ground up, like Wolfenstein level redo.
Yeah.
Which is possible. It's just. There's just the fun part of, does Duke Nukem cause too many people's panties in a twist now?
Yeah. I think my off-the-cuff like assessment is that Take-Two got a good deal. That they got all those IP and Gearbox for $460 million. That seems like a decent haul.
Yeah, I'd agree. I expect Ubisoft to not go for much more.
Okay.
They have a lot more IP. They should go for over $1 billion easy.
Mm-hmm.
But the status of those IPs is shambolic.
Yeah.
I keep looking over here. Am I insane or are the doors not level or not flush?
Flush
as... Is the one on the right towards me further than the one on the left? Yes.
Yeah, they're not level with each other.
Yeah, they're not. It's like they're not pushed in.
Yeah.
Why is that? I don't think I was in there recently. Well, don't break the fucking door.
I just poked it a little bit.
You know how hard it was to put those up and do it wrong?
I don't know.
Because I did it wrong. I know I did it wrong, but I can't fix it.
I mean, it looks fine.
I mean, I appreciate you, but that is bothering me. Now I'm going to have to stand up in a minute. Anyway, let's talk about number five.
No one would know what we're talking about. No, well, first off, no one would notice it. All right, it's two closet doors, the folding type. And the right folding door is maybe a quarter of the inch further out than the left one.
Right, but that should technically be impossible.
Well, at the top, they're flush. At the bottom, they're right about halfway is when it starts to jut out. So either A, the door got warped, or there's something behind it that it's pushing on it.
Whole person?
Maybe. I mean, it might have been that fucking person we killed. What? What? Number five?
Nintendo of America is reorganizing its QA team as Kotaku reports the company is conducting a massive downsizing of the contract base at its Redmond, Washington headquarters. A representative confirmed for the outlet that it is ending a number of contractor assignments, but added that the reorganization is also resulting in a significant number of new full-time employee positions. While the contractors are technically employed by an external agency, Nintendo said that those being let go will be offered severance packages. Four former or current Nintendo contractors estimated for Kotaku that the reorganization potentially impacted more than 100 people. A waning first-party pipeline for the Nintendo Switch may have played a role in such decisions. Three contractors told the site there had been a lull in the workload on that front, and none knew of anyone yet working on testing games for the Switch's successor, which has reportedly been pushed back to 2025.
Did I mention that this podcast was going to be kind of blah as far as things getting sold and people getting let go? We're back to layoffs, baby. Back to everyone's favorite layoffs. See, there was a dead body back there. Doors are bothering you. The secret of the doors. Listen, that's probably just a humidity thing, temperature thing. It's just some wood swelling, wood contracting. All will be right in the world at a later date.
Listen, you're right. I don't like it, but it's like, you know how you see that one thing and you're like, it's going to bug me now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that one fucking blue pixel on the center of my computer monitor.
Don't
that
even
just
get me.
Showed
don't
up.
Even, don't even get me started on random pixels. There are, I have a 98-inch screen, LED.
That's excessive.
One pixel is wrong.
And you, did you punch it?
No, but I know where it is. And I'm one of two people that knows where it is. So we just pretend like it doesn't exist. Because if we continue to acknowledge its existence, it wins.
Mm-hmm.
So we just don't acknowledge it.
I poke it every once in a while. Sometimes I massage it and I'm like, oh, come on, baby.
Get out of there. Get out of there.
Just you're just stuck. You're not dead. You're just stuck. Come on. Work with me here. And it doesn't go away. It says
they
hey,
never do.
Hey, fuck you, buddy.
Why is he playing a horse backwards?
I don't know. I don't like that photo. It makes me uncomfortable.
He's playing a cello. Who does that?
Are we in anything interesting worth talking about yet? Nope. Okay. Just checking.
Absolutely not. This entire podcast. How do you think I brought up a door?
I mean, it gets better. I think from here we start to turn around a little bit. Number six, a group of industry professionals have launched Lunacy Games. The Bill Roper-led studio is developing a survival RPG based in the American Wild West. Roper's professional experience spans decades. He served as vice president of Disney's Consumer Products and Interactive Media. He was with the firm for 5 years. Roper also founded Thunder God Publishing in 2010 and had a one-year stint as chief creative officer at Improbable. Roper said, quote, "We practice radical transparency with our people. Executives share every aspect of what we're doing and how we're getting there with everyone in the company," end quote. Lunacy is developing its first title, a cooperative survival RPG based in the American Old West. In an interview with GamesBeat, the studio also announced that it had acquired the licensing rights to create a new Hellgate title, which has a code name, Hellgate London? Hellgate, no, the first one's called Hellgate London. Hellgate Revelations, I think is what the code name might be called. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The game doesn't even exist yet.
But we'll see it when it does.
Yep.
Shall we go for the even worse paint drying news?
Oh, boy.
Number seven.
I hope it involves patents.
A U.S. I got a deal for you. A U.S. district court judge has ruled that Sony did not infringe on another company's patented technology with its PlayStation consoles and controllers.
Oh, boy.
Genuine Enabling Technology first filed the complaint against Sony Corporation in 2017. It was seeking $500 million in damages, yet claimed the platform holder infringed on its 730 patent entitled Method and Apparati for, it should be Apparati, I like that better, apparatus for producing a combined data stream and recovering therefrom the respective user input stream and at least one input signal.
Fucking nerds, bro.
Among the claims, a central complaint is around the way PlayStation consoles and controllers communicate with each other, specifically submitting a separate signal on a slow varying frequency for button inputs and another higher frequency for motion control input. Get asserted that no device could simultaneously receive both signals until its devised solution with its 730 patent. However, Sony argued that the company had failed to provide enough evidence that proved a certain component in its controllers was structurally equivalent to logic diagrams laid out in Get's patent. Get also filed a similar lawsuit against Nintendo regarding infringement of the same patent. The district court judge of that case also ruled in favor of Nintendo in 2020, but the U.S. Court of Appeals reversed this decision in 2022. Therefore, we're on going.
Some of these patents, man. Wild.
They're just sending it.
I know. It's just, I don't know. In some ways, it's weird to me that you could... I guess you can patent language, so, like, I guess that's... I don't know. Conversation is not entertaining, so we'll just leave it at that.
In a completely entertaining, or, yeah, completely entertaining, listen, this is not going to be about to be entertaining what I'm about to say. It's about to be really crude. If I patented my dick and charged people who've used it, I'd have a dollar. Maybe two.
So, like, if you did a mold of your dick and then sold it, and then someone started copying it, but would they be copying your likeness?
Would you only have you would have likeness and licensing rights on the shape of the what are we doing of the dick, but you wouldn't have the patent on the molding technology.
Yeah. So you could, if someone else started to reproduce
if they used it. In a mold, what are we doing? If they used it in a mold and didn't credit my penis, they would be
stealing your penis likeness.
Right, exactly. I'm so happy we could come to this conclusion.
Me as well. I just sometimes
that picture is worse than the last one.
Yeah, we're getting. Why is it all creepy stuff?
A Virgem do Elefante by Pantoneo.
Oh, God.
Just put a bunch of weird Spanish in front of me. I'm going to read it terribly.
What is this world?
Look at the beard that it has.
Yeah, it's got like horns almost.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't like it. Number 8. Xbox head Phil Spencer has said that he wants to see more digital retailers on the console, and I'm assuming he means Xbox, such as the Epic Games Store and itch.io. Speaking with Polygon, Spencer said, quote, "Consider our history as the Windows company. Nobody would blink twice if I said, hey, when you're using a PC, you get to decide what type of experience you have by picking where to buy games." There's real value in that. Spencer also noted that the console market isn't growing and that expanding storefront options may help motivate players to continue using them. Quote, "Subsiding hardware becomes more challenging in today's world. And I will say, and this may seem too altruistic, I don't know what it's growing in the industry. I don't know that it's growing the industry. So I think, what are the barriers? What are the things that create friction in today's world for creators and players? And how can we be part of opening up that model?" End quote.
How could you be a part of it, Phil?
Yeah, Phil. What you doing? Wanting to get more stores on the Xbox? That would be wild, though.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's just like, oh, yeah, we're going to go ahead and...
it's like the Xbox...
add in this massive fucking...
It's like the Xbox is becoming a PC, which is... Yeah, that was weird.
But I can... Whenever the neighbors, like, show up, they like to shut their doors loud. To their cars, not even the house.
Yeah. The Xbox is essentially... just like slowly morphing into a full-fledged PC.
Yeah, it'd be curious to see, like, you know, does that include, like, if Steam, right, the biggest, baddest of them all,
yeah,
ever shows up on there, is that, like, so when winter Steam sale hits, summer Steam sale hits, does that just mean that those also go nuts?
I don't know.
That'd be wild.
I don't know what this means.
What do you mean, Phil?
I think he just is trying to... My guess is the play here is to inevitably be able to sue PlayStation to get them to allow other digital storefronts onto PlayStation.
I would agree.
They're trying to go the epic route with Apple. Where they're just like, these motherfuckers aren't playing nice.
Right. So we move to, I was going to say other people not playing nice, but that's not really at all how this technically sounds. I guess it could sound that way, but I feel like that's probably slightly rude.
Rude.
Sorry, I'm testing something. Games startup Popularium has closed its seed round of funding to the tune of $2 million. The studio was founded by Magic the Gathering creator Richard Garfield, former Hearthstone and World of Warcraft developer John Bankard, and ex-Xbox Live manager Arco Ray. Popularium is currently working on its debut title, Chaos Agents, which it describes as an auto battler royale. Which I think would technically just be any other auto battler. Combining the last person standing rules with the auto battling gameplay concept of titles such as Dota Auto Chess and Vampire Survivors. Chaos Agents sees players train up their own superhero and pit it against dozens of other players' characters in a battle royale. Each Chaos Agent is completely unique to their player. The game is targeting a 2025 release.
Yay.
More so games. I guess I would have to like
see it.
Like really see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Speaking of games that we've seen. Number 10. Judas. The game in development at Ken Levine's Ghost Story Games just had a huge amount of details revealed. Levine was featured in a 75-minute interview with IGN's Ryan McCaffrey and Jeff Keighley, who had just played 4 or 5 hours of the game. To start, the main character is called Judas by the rest of the characters because she's considered a traitor. She's part of a colony ship fleeing a dying Earth in a multi-generational journey towards Proxima Centauri. Judas exposes an ugly truth. The characters managing the ship are, unbeknownst to them, robots rather than humans. This reveal causes a chain of reactions that ultimately leads to catastrophe as the Mayflower ship is moored in an asteroid field and sinking. In an attempt to save the mission and therefore humankind itself, Judas is chosen for resurrection thanks to an untested technology called reprinting. Thus, respawning is tied to the game's story. We get some roguelike elements in there. Unlike in the BioShock games, where protagonists didn't know anything about the worlds they stepped into, Judas has long and storied relationships with everyone on the ship. During the exploration of the large ship, players will experience dynamic events that can occur anywhere and at any time. Examples include one of the characters smashing a fuel reserve that the player was seeking because they were angry at them. Moreover, the characters will even interfere in combat situations based on your standing with them. Levine also touched upon combat, which will be relatively reminiscent of BioShock with its mix of powers and weaponry. The big addition is the hacking system, explained by the fact that Judas is a self-taught engineer. With the hacking, Judas can affect her foes and even the environment itself in a sandbox-like fashion. It looks like BioShock, naturally. There's the whole, you know, gun and magic situation. Your hands got powers.
That's true.
Jazz hands.
I don't know if it's jazz. If your hands start just walking around and you're going, I was doing almost more of a can-can vibe there in a second. Yeah.
I'm currently reading a book where a alien uses jazz hands to say yes.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Okay. Well, I guess jazz hands are the American Sign Language for applause. I believe.
Oh, okay.
In
case you're curious, it's
less the true jazz hands would almost be like not at your hips, but a little bit lower, and you'd be doing like the whole doing like all the feet movements of like almost like a swing movement. But I believe applause in American Sign Language is if you were almost like making a field goal and you'd be doing this.
Okay,
is applause for American Sign Language?
Interesting. Interesting. Oh, what'd you think of Judas?
I was initially about to be not impressed because the opening scene where you're in the one-on-one, the video we watched was the Keeley one from the Game of Wars channel.
And the immediate vibe I got was, what are those things called? Big Daddy?
Big Daddies were the, it was Little Sisters and Big Daddies.
Yeah. That vibe I got, first scene where like
the first thing you're actually in combat with is you have Big Daddy vibes. But the entire time, by the way, I was trying to throw the Game Day app to there and I can't figure out why I can't cast to screen my entire phone.
Yeah.
Because Yankees are up 2-1 right now in the Astros.
I find it annoying that I can't cast to a Google TV. Because Apple hates Google.
Oh. There's a weird thing happening with Apple and Google. I don't know whether we talk about this, but they said that we're now tangenting so hard, but that Apple is now going to be starting to use a certain messaging format. Like them and Google are partnering together to use like not GSC, but I can't remember what it's called. It's a
universal.
So it's almost like there won't be such a thing as blue and green anymore. That'll almost be unified, I think, is what that would mean, but I'm not positive. Anyway.
Yeah.
You're in that first like one-on-one conversation with that female character, and I'm like looking at him like, okay, this looks like it's early alpha, beta, whatever. That it's not as pretty as I would think it would be for coming out of BioShock Infinite and all these other almost like beautiful environmental games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of looking at him like, eh. And then they get into that combat. We see that Big Daddy and the other robots and the hand powers and. Even just the environment is like way more detailed and textured and res and everything. I'm like, oh, no. This does look good. Now, if you don't like BioShock for whatever reason, if you mainly don't like it from a, there's that one thing that you don't like, it just something feels wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But like this looks like BioShock. If you like that style with the hand powers and all that stuff, that you're going to like this. The one thing that it did give me a little bit, it reminded me closer to 1 and 2 in what we saw, just because you're back in like this space station, that's you're in tunnels again, instead of being out in like the open. that you kind of were with the Skyhook and everything in Infinite.
Feels a little bit more enclosed.
Which can make combat more hectic, which can be fun with all these abilities and hacking and all that stuff. Also, what does potentially scare me, or like they're it is the risk that they're taking and doing what they're trying to do. So we'll see how it pays off. But how those three characters interact with you and how can you manipulate them in some way that you can get the outcome you always want? Like the one that they show when they're talking about them being impactful is the guy running for a door and they're getting stopped and told to turn around. And it's like, okay, is there a way that it's like, I've been favoring this person? Like, if you have three friendship bars, right? And you're favoring this one person. So they're at like 70 and the other two are at 20 and 40. But if you make a decision with the guy at 20, then he goes up by 10 and then the one at 70 comes down. So now it's like you're trying to measure these bars. Like, what is it? How does that?
Yeah.
How is that?
Is there a way it's tracked?
Right. Is it a way that's tracked that you can see? And is it manipulatable where it actually would benefit you? Because I don't, well, this depends on however we've both played Outer Worlds or any other companion style RPG that has like a friendship thing.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you get X amount of benefits if they're this level. So it's like, does it make sense to keep them all near the middle and never lose certain things? Or is there one that you ever want to commit that hard to at the detriment of others?
Yeah.
You know, like I'm thinking back to also our Old Republic plays, which I think back on fondly every time. I'm like, man, I wish we were still fucking playing that. And that we were more than us two playing it. Like if we had a group of like 5 to 10 of us that were playing,
it'd be a fucking blast.
Oh, it'd be so much fun. But when we're doing the questing and leveling, and we had our companions with us, but we were the way that the chat works in there is that you pick a, when you're in a party of things, you pick an answer and then it does a roll, and whichever answer won the roll is the one you see in the cutscene, but your story still continues of whichever one you pick, so that way somebody can't like fuck you over. But it benefited you to commit light or dark because of the benefits that you would get. So by default, I went dark side Sith and just kept pushing dark side. But if I was to truly just play that with no power gains on either side and just be like, oh, what do I think I would choose here? I'd probably be sitting real close to 50-50.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how you can kind of balance who influences what and whatever. Because I can tell you right now, there would be a part of me that gets annoyed seeing him pop up and lock the door and be like, nah, you can't leave. And I'm like,
yeah. Who are you, motherfucker?
Yeah. Or like he was saying where he's like, oh, she hacked the health station that I wanted to use and I literally am going to die in the next 10 seconds. It's like, she could not.
Yeah. I'm curious how the whole game will play out too, because they allude to like the roguelike elements with the reprinting and...
Right. So then is it you die, go get reprinted, do you come back with nothing? Do you have to go retrieve your... like?
Yeah. How does it play out?
So I'm intrigued.
Same. I'm curious. I'll definitely want to see more.
Speaking of something I'm not intrigued by.
Oh.
Number 11. NetEase and Marvel Games have announced Marvel Rivals, a 6v6 team-based free-to-play shooter headed to PC. While no release date was given, NetEase and Marvel did reveal Marvel Rivals will have a closed alpha test in May. It also shared that this multiversal adventure will feature an initial roster comprised of Black Panther, Doctor Strange, Groot, Hulk, Iron Man, Loki, Luna Snow, Magic, Magneto, Mantis, Namor, Penny Parker, Rocket Raccoon, Scarlet Witch, Spider-Man, Storm, Star-Lord, and the Punisher. Marvel Rivals also promises ever-changing battlefields that will be destroyed by the variety of powers on display in each match. Dynamic hero synergy will be available for those who find the right combination of characters. And when they say find the right combination, they mean read the guide on YouTube in the first 10 hours it's out.
Play the tutorial.
Yeah, it's like I always love when they're like, find the right combination. And like, guys, there's almost no such thing as wonder anymore unless you purposely like force it.
Yeah.
For example, Rocket Raccoon. Yeah, this is, here's the other problem. For example,
let me tell you what the good combos are.
Rocket Raccoon can hop on Groot's back to become more powerful, and Hulk can unleash gamma energy at Iron Man for a massive attack. Much like other free-to-play games, Marvel Rivals will continue to evolve and gain new content as the seasons roll on, including new playable characters, maps, and much more. Each new season will also tell more of the story of Marvel Rivals, which was written by the NetEase writing team. Here is your story, in case you're curious. Interdimensional portals! Everybody's here! Oh my god, we're fighting! Okay, there you go. Story.
All the Earths.
Have you heard of Project Titan? It will be a line somewhere.
Yeah, this one I wasn't, you know, cared very little about.
No, literally watching it actually made me less interested.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
Yep. It's just a Overwatch clone. Yeah. Yeah, I like that one. It's
like Thanos with a really swanky leg sitting in a boat. I don't know.
Yeah. Got some like Popeye arm shit going on there. Big old forearms.
It's just like an Infinity Gauntlet, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're talking about, though. It does have the forearms.
Wearing an eye patch. Yep. His legs. He is a boat. Cool beans. Well, it's time for the rumor roundup.
Rumor roundup. Rumor roundup.
Super hot.
Super.
I threw that shit before I came in the room.
Me and that fucking levels where you're going through like the shopping mall.
Yeah.
And you can throw the gun off the side, land on the next one, and grab it out of there. It's like, I fucking love shit like that. Game is so good.
It is good. All right. According to Moore's Law is Dead, the old YouTube channel that I've never watched before, but apparently it's a thing. The PlayStation 5 Pro CPU will be 4 nanometers. Ooh boy, so exciting. Yay. Also, they claim that PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution Upscaler is not a fork of the upcoming AMD FSR4 Upscaler and has been completely developed by Sony. That is interesting, and I'm curious to see how that plays out. The old super resolution upscaler bullshit, real hot right now. The rumored Xbox Series X all digital model seems to be real and coming, as some leaked pictures provided the first look at the yet to be announced console. Do you want me to spoil you by telling you what it looks like?
Sure.
It's going to blow your mind. So picture.
All right.
An Xbox Series X.
Okay, all right.
Now remove the slit where you put the disc in.
Okay.
Turn the black into white. Done. There it is. Amazing.
So we're doing reverse elites.
Yes. Exactly. Some developers feel that they still haven't taken full advantage of the base PS5, so there's no reason for the PS5 Pro to exist.
I'm not a developer, and I've been saying it for the last 3 console generations.
Hard agree. Renowned Capcom leaker Dusk Golem has revealed that the publisher's next major projects, Resident Evil 9 and Monster Hunter Wilds, will both follow in the footsteps of Dragon's Dogma 2 with an open-world design. Monster Hunter Wilds is planned for release in the first quarter of 2025, it is claimed.
Everybody went, oh, with an open-world design, great. What about the microtransaction part of that? We want to talk about that.
We're doing open world and all the microtransactions. We're going to bleed the money out of you. We're going to squeeze you like a fucking sponge. Anyways, Bethesda revealed that early builds of The Elder Scrolls 6 are already being played. Doubt. You know what? It might be true, but they're probably like stick figure builds with no textures. Based on job listings, it looks like PlayStation's Days Gone and Siphon Filter developer Bend Studio is working on a PlayStation live service game. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. New details on the Control multiplayer spinoff, codenamed Condor, were shared by developer Remedy Entertainment with a new infographic. The infographic, which was shared in the studio's latest investor report, provides some additional information on the game's lore, revealing how the oldest house is under lockdown and trapped within it is the last vestige of the Federal Bureau of Control, who will attempt to take back control of the oldest house from the supernatural forces dwelling within.
Take control. Such good fucking games, such good soundtracks. It's impressive.
All right. Well, hopefully they'll come out another one. You know what would be nice? An impressive multiplayer game. That would be nice.
You know, every now and then I think of if I got a sleeve, right?
Yeah.
Like a tattoo sleeve.
If you tatted yourself up.
If I inked myself.
If you inked yourself trying to pick up the laser, he's like, ooh, look at his sweet tats.
Yeah, I'd be like, this one is...
I just want to rub my slit sauce all over his arm tat. What just came out of my mouth? Sweet Jesus.
That is like Thursday morning scan, Matt. We left him a long time ago.
I'm just so tired.
But every now and then I'm like, okay, I can get like this or this. Yeah. I think of like a couple things where I'm like, I really need is to keep like a list of like things that would be cool to just have in like a thing of like, have a TIE fighter somewhere, have, you know, whatever, like have all these references to things. And it's like, I need to have something from Alan Wake in Control because they're just so good and I love them so much.
Yeah.
Where it's like doing that, WoW was on there, Star Wars gets on there, maybe a Lord of the Rings thing. Maybe a Saints Row 2 thing, because that's just like a very specific reference for Kenny and I.
Yeah.
Like all these just like little random references to that would be things that are just, you know, whatever. Yeah. And I'd be like,
that moments. Would be cool. Yeah. Windows Central's Jez Corden revealed that Microsoft currently has multiple Xbox handheld prototypes for a system meant to play Xbox games natively. Any thoughts or feelings on that one? That was kind of an interesting one.
Not really, because we heard rumors of that a long time ago.
Yeah.
We basically expect it to be coming at some point.
Mm-hmm.
It was just going to be a matter of if it's at the same time of like new console or not.
Yeah. Jez Corden also talked about the mysterious new dev kit certified in South Korea last week. Corden speculates that it could be a new version of the dev kit with some AI features to get developers to come to grips with them in preparation for the next generation console.
I don't know why come to grips with it. It's just so fucking hysterical to me. Hey, we're going to force this on you. So here it is now. Get used to it.
Listen, we dropped off a dev kit. You'll notice that there's a fucking Copilot key on the dev switch now. We're going to need you to use that.
Do you use their Copilot shit?
I have not.
Neither have I, for the record. I'm just curious.
I just get like the AI generated ads for it all the time. And I'm just like,
oh yeah. Well, I mean, they're just, Windows 11 just has by default, some of the store apps and installs are just hysterical to me. I'm like, why is Dev Home getting installed on my machine randomly? Like, get the fuck out of here.
I think they're rolling it out. Or maybe I just haven't gotten the latest update for Windows 11, but because it popped up on, I've seen that people were asking me, what's this fucking Copilot thing? And I'm like, oh,
it's just Cortana replacement. Is all.
Yeah. I was like, it's Microsoft's AI. And they're like, you know, why does he have it? And I don't have it. And I was like, I don't know. Microsoft slow rolls things out sometimes.
Are y'all on 23H2?
Probably not.
All right. Then there's your answer. You're welcome. I'll be here all week. Do you like your File Explorer having tabs?
I do. I need multiple windows, bro.
You can still have that.
I know. I'm
just saying, what if you didn't?
I was insulted by the fact that it defaulted to tabs right away.
Well, yeah, it's just like Notepad. So many tabs in Notepad. If you open up Notepad, guess what's got tabs? Notepad.
I know. I appreciate it, but at the same time, it annoys me because it's not what I'm used to. All right, I'm an old man yelling at the fucking sky.
Technically, you're yelling at the window, but I understand.
Oh, I fucking hate you.
There's only one dad in this room, and it's you. And I use the dad joke instead.
Microsoft is reportedly planning to release a native version of Minecraft for PlayStation 5.
Sure, why not?
And then via Bloomberg, multiple teams at Tencent are developing a Pokemon with guns, Pal World-like mobile games.
Well, yeah, no shit, obviously.
Money, money, money! Ooh, squeaky, squeaky, squeaky.
Questionable things.
Everything's questionable.
That there's at least three full paragraphs on.
Shh.
It's Take-Two has sold 16 million units. And as Joseph Fares once said, fuck the Oscars. Number two, Yellow Brick Games is parting ways with Pirate Division to self-publish its first game, set for release in 2025. The untitled game is a fantasy action adventure that's been in development for 4 years. A short teaser was released more on April 2nd. Yellow Brick Game was co-founded by its chief creative officer, Mike Laidlaw, who is best known as the former creative director of the Dragon Age franchise. And if you're curious, that game will come out before the next Dragon Age.
That would be amazing.
Hey, guess what? I spoke it. It's true.
Okay.
This year's Game Developers Conference saw nearly 30,000 people in attendance. By comparison, last year it was only 28,000, so we're going up.
Slowly.
Number four, the Allied Employees Guild Improving Sega, or Aegis Union, has ratified their collective bargaining contract. Aegis calls this the first developer union contract at a major U.S. games firm. Sandsoft Games and NetEase Games have announced a new partnership for the MENA, which is the Middle East and North Africa market. Number six, Misfits Gaming has launched a new game studio called Misfits Interactive. The new studio is currently working on two original user-generated content titles set for release this year, developed by a team of over 20 people.
Whoa.
Number seven, Smilegate Barcelona has reportedly been shuttered for about 4 years of operation. When the game studio was launched in 2020, its focus was on AAA development. It was working on an unannounced open-world game. Number eight, GameStop has reportedly made another round of layoffs. GameStop has another round of layoffs with an unspecified number of jobs lost following lower fourth quarter revenue and lower consumer spending. Number nine, Sprout Esports has closed its business after 7 years of operations. 10, the European Commission is investigating Google, Meta, and Apple for possible infringements of the Digital Markets Act. Google and Apple are being investigated for steering Meta for its data consent policy. Number 11, Toys for Bob has reportedly signed a deal with Microsoft after parting ways with the firm last month. According to Windows Central, the studio has finalized an agreement with Xbox to fund its next title as an independent studio, which we figured they were going to do. Number 12, Illphonic has announced they've taken over publishing duties for Predator Hunting Grounds and will be officially releasing the game on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S sometime in late 2024. The fact that it's not already there is actually astounding.
Yep.
Number 13, the open beta for Omega Studios' MOBA predecessor is now available on PC and consoles. Guild Wars 3 has been greenlit by NCSoft. So, another 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm curious to see how it is. There are a total of like four MMOs that I'm always watching at any, five MMOs that I'm always watching at any given time. Mm-hmm. WoW, Guild Wars, The Old Republic, Final Fantasy. And another one. I said the main four, right? I said WoW, Star Wars, Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Guild Wars. I feel like we are missing one, but I don't know what it is.
WoW, Final Fantasy, Star Wars, Guild Wars. I mean, I could fill it in with a lot of them.
Yeah.
Elder Scrolls, I'd be watching. Lord of the Rings.
Whatever flavor Riot.
Yeah.
There was a rumor going around for a little bit, and it was hopeful thinking. It wasn't realistic at all, but the Guild Wars subreddit for a little bit was chit-chatting about the possibility of a Guild Wars remastered. A first one
redone. Guild Wars 3, Guild Wars 1?
Yeah. And I was like, I would love that, but that's so unrealistic.
It is, especially because the way the game's changed at this point.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of things that they could do back from 2. Or, from 1.
Mm-hmm.
That they could, if 1 and 2 had a baby.
Yeah. Which, hopefully that's what 3 is.
But, right, exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of me that goes, I love WoW and WoW is my MMO.
Yeah.
I love the Star Wars MMO and wish more people played it with me.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't ever played Final Fantasy, and I don't think I really give a shit, but I am curious what's going on over there.
Yeah.
Elder Scrolls, the combat can be kind of fun, but I don't care to... I, again, would fully need a group, and I would get so fucking annoyed in that game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Guild Wars is like my one that I kind of want to have come back that tickles me a little.
Yeah. Like, Guild Wars, I think... WoW is too much for me. Guild Wars was like the right amount.
One specifically. Two fell into the there's too much going on.
Yeah. Two was like, this isn't what I signed up for.
But one, yeah. One was. A new No Man's Sky update has launched this week. Sean Murray has shaved his beard. it includes an overhaul of the space station systems, a ship editor, a new guild system, the ability to send a frigate fleet on missions, and more. And Sean, we forgive you.
You can move on to other games, bro.
You can rest, bud. Number 16.
The weird thing about that is the space stations were the last part of the game that was not procedurally generated. So now the game's completely procedurally generated. So like it could be like
it's done.
Yeah, it is. It should be done.
Number 16, CD Projekt Red announced that a free Cyberpunk 2077 trial is available. So, hey, if you want to try Cyberpunk, go for it. CD Projekt is considering licensing out its Cyberpunk or Witcher IP for use in mobile games.
Please no.
The only one you're allowed to license Witcher for is Gwent, which you already have. Number 18, Baldur's Gate 3 has reportedly sold 15 million copies, making it only 1 million behind It Takes Two.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Not for long.
Halo and COD support studio Certain Affinity has laid off 25 staff, and what its CEO says is the first mass layoff in the studio's 17-year history. Number 20, The Outer Worlds, Spacer's Choice Edition, and Thief will be free on Epic Games Store next week. Outer Worlds, great game.
Mm-hmm.
X Defiant has been delayed again, as it was previously scheduled to be released by the end of March 2024. Now Ubisoft is aiming to set a release date after a short 12-hour server test session. And if you read more about that game, it is in development hell and may never see the light of day.
Yeah, they're edging at this point. They're just dragging everyone along, hoping to...
People are saying that, like, the devs, every time they get close, keep saying they want to do something Call of Duty-like, and that, or, like, the leaders say they want to do something Call of Duty-like, so then they have to scramble and scratch and do... And then there's been, again, harassment reports and everything coming out of Ubisoft, God. So it's like, hey, maybe you guys shouldn't exist anymore.
How are they still going? It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. But hey, it's been 7 days. What have you been up
to? Not a whole lot. The normal. I've been reading Initial D, actually. But although I bought the books, I've been reading them digitally. Because, you know, what the fuck?
How much other Initial D stuff did you buy?
I bought a mouse pad, and then I bought two other books. Is it the car? What's that? The
mouse pad.
The mouse pad? What about the mouse?
Is it the car?
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's art from...
Oh, the ultra-wide one.
Yep. Yeah. It's the art from the manga, and then I did buy...
Manga or manga?
I don't know.
Honestly, I don't know either. I'm curious.
I have no idea.
I feel like if you say manga and then somebody's like, do you mean the manga? And I'm like, I fucking want to
hear
you.
I don't care, bro. Like,
I have no idea, man. Do I look like I know? Do I look like the person I asked that question to?
And then I started listening to Project Hail Mary, the Andy Weir book. He did The Martian.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which it's interesting. It's good so far. The audiobook is really, really good. It's got Ray Porter as the dude voicing it, and like it's just really, really well produced. Multiple voices, sound effects, that type of thing. It's like not really sound effects. Sound effects in a small enough, like very infrequently, but they just like, you know, add a little flavor that's good enough.
Gotcha.
That's it. Really. Living life. Barely. I could fall asleep right now. That's like my general state of being all week was I could sleep at any moment. I left work early. I don't know what day. I can't remember. I left work early because I was so tired that I was like literally falling asleep at my desk. And I was like, I just need to leave. And I left work and I went home and I pounded a cup of coffee and I fucking went to sleep.
Ah, that old move.
Yeah.
Where you wake up normal again.
And I woke up an hour later because that's when Aiden and Samantha were getting home because, you know, I got to do the whole nighttime routine at that point. So, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely been, we talked about this a little bit last week where it's like, it's just something up because I've not so much this week, but last week I was in that entire same boat of like, I'm just going to sleep.
Yeah.
I don't really know what else I want to do, so I'm just going to sleep.
Yeah. So what have you been up to?
I've been up to the usual. I mean, honestly, not much, though. MLB The Show, Plunderstorm, played some Balatro, need to finish Yakuza, prep the smoker to hopefully use that this weekend.
Smoke it.
So here's the joke behind that, right? I purposely bought two racks of ribs when I bought them
mm-hmm.
a while ago, and I immediately froze them because I was like, I'll get to them eventually. I purposely bought two because I'm gonna fuck the first one up, guaranteed.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's...
So that's why I was like, well, we'll see how this goes.
And then if it works out, you know, it's like a present.
Yeah,
it's like I could eat this whole rack of ribs.
Yeah, if I succeeded, good job, me.
Yeah,
if I screwed it up, bad job. Time to learn. You gotta do it again. So we'll see how that goes. But that's really it. Just been, I'll randomly break into spurts of like, all right, I'm doing an hour of cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like taking care of stuff that I've either piled up or I haven't dealt with. There's like, I'm currently sitting on 3 bags of clothes to donate and I just need to take them down and donate them. But I'm just like, yeah. Literally I just need to at least move them into the trunk of the car, and then anytime that I drive to the gas station I pass the place where they have to go.
Yeah,
so it's just, hey, do it. And I'm like, man, but do I want to? So there's just, you know, there's that fight my own laziness to go take care of some stuff that I need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but otherwise, yeah, no, it's just going through clearing out some stuff. Trying to do the clear out that I need to, that like my brain needs to go to the, what do you actually need?
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of what you don't need. And not just like need of like, obviously I don't need all the like trading cards that I have. Right.
Yeah.
But those aren't things that are taking up any,
mm-hmm.
any space or whatever. Like obviously I have space too, but it's like, hey, no, you need to like, ditch this lanyard you're hanging on to for no reason. It's one of the free packs ones. You didn't even buy it. You're not going to ever use this. Get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
I have all of my packs badges from all the years past.
Yeah.
That is my, I went there. Mm-hmm. I don't need the lanyard. Random Final Fantasy sponsored lanyard that was always in the free, you know, it's the habit of me just grabbing free things.
Mm.
So it's just stuff like that where it's like, no, you don't still need that. I don't need that old mouse pad. I don't need that old keyboard. I don't need that old disgusting mouse that I don't want to use anyway. I don't need the broken keyboard that's out in the hall over here. I don't need, you know, just stuff like that where it's like, no, just get rid of it. Yeah. And then before you start buying things, because it falls under two things, right? I don't know what I have in some instances,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, oh, I bought this, but I have a really old whatever. It's like, well, that probably could have worked, but. And at the same time, it's also, don't just buy shit to do it.
Yeah.
Buy it with purpose,
mm-hmm.
and have the purpose that you need it for. Like, I bought a small, it's like, not, maybe it's not 9 inches. Maybe it's like 9 by 9 square stackable. So it's like this, like another, I guess, another 9 inches, almost like a 9 by 9 by 9 cube. That is three stackable things, so I could put all my Warhammer paints minifigs all in that.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like a little craft thing.
Yeah.
I was like, that's what that is for. That is where they will be held, because I had no other place to put them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so stuff like that, where it's like organizing things and having them down to a almost a science of like, this goes here, this is done, and whatever. So if I ever did downsize or whatever, I have what I need to actually take and go and do things.
Yeah.
Like the spare chair that's sitting in there, that is your old AX racer.
That thing's fucking old,
bro. It's getting tossed when I have the next garbage day.
So old.
It's so old. I think one of the arms is broken, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Surprised
that's it.
Yeah. But like, that's one of the things where it's like, that needs to go. My old laptop from 2008 that has DDR in it.
Yeah.
It's gone. Needs to go. But stuff like that is like, well, I have to take that to electronic scrap.
Mm-hmm.
And so that becomes a thing. But otherwise, yeah, it's just stuff that just, you know, constantly doing a purge until eventually I'm at the level where I have everything contained into three rooms or something, where it's like, nope, these things here.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just a me thing, though.
Does this item bring you joy? You know, the whole, I don't know.
The hoarder level?
The Marie Kondo lady? That was a whole thing for a little bit, a viral thing. It was a Netflix series, I believe, about this woman. She wrote a book. Her whole thing was like, you know, basically facilitating like a more minimalist life. And she would always be like, does this item bring you joy?
Oh, that's funny. I guess in a way that's kind of what it is. But it's also like, there are some things where I would be like, I don't know what that item is.
Yeah.
It's just been here. I have no whatever to it. And I need to do this in preps of like, when I redo the dining room coming up, like what in here needs to be here.
Yeah.
You know, there's all that types of stuff where it's like, as you go through and do a room, what should, and you take everything out of the room, what should actually go back into it and what should just not be here anymore?
Yeah.
Or what should find a new home, but in a different room?
Yeah.
You know, there's all these other options. So just a lot of things I got to kind of go through and do, but. Life things. Nobody wants to listen to this anymore. We're done.
I don't want to listen to myself.
Perfect. Then we'll see you in 7 days. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.